Miss Mary, now can you tell me, in your experience living in New Orleans, do you consider New Orleans a violent city?
A violent state?
City.
City.
A violent city?
Yes, ma'am.
I would say yes, because of all the killings that's been going on.
Now, was it always this way?
No. No, it wasn't.
When do you think that change happened to where it just became a predominantly, like, murderous city?
It's not.
It's not what?
Not predominant. A predominant murder.
Badgering the witness.
I'm not badgering.
I believe it happened after Katrina.
Now, do you remember when they closed down the St. Thomas Project?
Not really.
That was like in 03, I think. And then they had moved all the people out of the St. Thomas to like the projects around there. And the police used to say that every murder in New Orleans was drug related when it really wasn't. I think that's about the time.
They still kind of say that now.
Yeah,
I guess.
Especially the young ones.
So what do you think that we could do as the people of this city to kind of help curb some of this violence?
It's nothing you really could do except for
bulletproof vest.
Pray more.
Pray more.
Speak to the young people.
They the ones trying to kill you. Those the ones that's trying to kill you, the young ones.
Exactly why you need to speak to the young people.
You need to speak to them and you know, those that are like in the church. You know, pray for peace.
It's all about it's culture. It is societal. It is a culture of violence that we, as people of faith, as well as even if you are not a person of faith, it's all about changing the culture of violence.
So basically,
but that is not just a New Orleans thing, as I said.
That's okay, because
no, it's not. It's all over.
Yeah, right. But what we're talking about, though.
So say that again.
We're talking about.
It's all over.
All over.
Right. But we're talking about New Orleans.
Every city has their murder. Has a murder rate.
The city of Alexandria, Virginia had two murders.
Not particularly New Orleans.
But we trying to look out for the people that's closer to us, because what I heard, Miss Mary, is that it's like a family. New Orleanians are like a big family. So I would think that we would want to look out for each other.
And we do.
And help each other.
We do look out for each other.
By killing them?
No, we do. We do want to look out for the people that are closest to us. But you know what? Sometimes you have to make a global statement. And as I said, when you get rid of this culture of violence, this national culture of violence, you get rid of that, then on a state level, everything will take care of itself. I mean, you can't deny that we have a culture of violence.
Exactly. That's all I've been trying to say.
But it's not just in the city of New Orleans.
Now, when I was coming up, you know what they use?
Knives.
No.
Fists.
They use fists? They still do. Well,
they
no.
They used that fist. They fought. And once after they fought, it was over.
Yeah.
That was it.
See, but what happened is, this is my theory here, is by after the crack epidemic and they took all the fathers out the home, these young boys are scared to fight because they're scared to get their ass whooped. They're scared to get embarrassed. So that's why they go straight for the guns. They're scared to fight because they don't want to be embarrassed by losing. And that happened after the fathers were removed from the homes. Absolutely. And you know what? We would love.
She said, what?
We would love to accommodate your presence in person one day on one of these episodes.
All right. Talk to you later, Miss Mary.
Bye. Later.
she on the show. She's trying to get proper. Yeah, wait, what? Okay, later.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legalize.
You know that's going in there, right? Cool.
I am one of your hosts, Afro Becky.
Becky.
Thanks for joining.
My name is Dan, a.k.a. Dan on Drugs. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Also, keep up with the show across all social media platforms at Black Law Podcast. Check us out.
Hi, and I'm Just Dan, another one of your hosts, and you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies.
Just Man.
Shut up.
So, ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks ago, we did an episode titled A Bloody City, and Becky and I shared some of our thoughts on the city of New Orleans after living here for well over a decade. We've witnessed, maybe not personally with our own eyes, but news reports, things of that nature, just a vicious cycle of violence and brutality. So in New Orleans is not a very big city. It's the population's around 500,000. And I can almost guarantee that everybody down here is in within 6 degrees of separation of somebody that has been murdered. And would you concur?
No.
Okay. So many of the people that I know, like, I'm not even from New Orleans, but many of the people that I know all know somebody that has been shot or murdered. Either one, shot and murdered.
But you don't know a lot of people.
I know enough people.
You don't know a lot of people.
Okay. All right. Doesn't matter.
It does.
No, when I say everybody that I know, I'm speaking for everybody that I know.
But you don't know a lot of people, so it matters. Okay, but move on.
Okay. So, anyway, what we wanted to do was revisit this just briefly with somebody that has lived here all of her life, which is Anne, and coming from
technically the, that's incorrect, but keep going.
Coming from the person who almost died herself a couple of weeks ago, not by
gunshot.
A couple of weeks ago, almost died in New Orleans. Motherfucking gallbladders are attacking and, down this bitch.
The story of my death was much exaggerated. Thank you.
What story of your death?
Whatever story you told, bastard.
I didn't tell any stories.
You sure did.
Did you listen?
I'm sure you did.
You're sure I'm dead.
I'm sure
you're did. Sure I'm dead.
I'm sure you did.
Uh-huh. And you listened to it. And you can tell me what was said.
No, because I was in the midst of my death, apparently.
Okay. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So, in all seriousness, wanted to bring in Anne and get some of her fingers snapping to stop while we're recording. And, get her views on the city of New Orleans and the violence. And also, one of the things, I'll just repeat this real quick, is I said that New Orleans needs more proactive policing, more policing, and the justice system that is a revolving door in the city of New Orleans, New Orleans lockup, a revolving door where violent criminals often get let out on bond and house arrest. So those are some of my solutions. So I wanted to hear, one, your take on the violence in the city of New Orleans, as well as some of the solutions or some possible solutions.
To violence?
To violence in New Orleans, yes.
And just in New Orleans? Because yes. I don't know if, because for me, violence is not something that is a New Orleans situations. Violence is endemic in our society. I believe that if you all go back to a previous episode when we spoke about gun violence and we spoke about violence in general, we as a society are violent people. So New Orleans in particular is not the most violent city in these United States.
Okay, so but again, we're talking about New Orleans.
Now, see, because from what I understand, you threw some other places in the surrounding areas.
If you go back and listen to the episode, you'll find context.
Right. But you were throwing other cities in. So I'm saying
once and again,
okay, but context. What I'm saying is, so in context, mm-hmm. New Orleans is not the most violent city.
According to
America.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the reason why you hear about violence in New Orleans is because of proximity. If you lived in Chicago, you would think Chicago was a very violent city.
Chicago's not as violent as people make it out to seem.
Neither is New Orleans. Okay. And that
take that up with the FBI.
You just proved my point. It's proximity. It's because what you see on the news is, okay, this one got shot and this one got shot and this one got shot. If you live in the Chicago, you know what you would see in this year, December, or last year, December through December 14th, 200 people got shot in Chicago.
Population difference too.
But as I was saying, you live in Chicago, or you live close to Chicago, you think Chicago is a very violent city.
Okay.
All right. So, but having said that,
New Orleans
is not as violent as you would make it out to be.
In your opinion.
And yours is an opinion as well.
Yeah, we have opposing opinions. Okay. That's fine.
Exactly.
So yours is an opinion now, as well. Right now, let me ask you, are you okay with the amount of crime and violence in the city?
I'm not okay with crime, period.
Okay, so let's get to some solutions.
Mass destruction.
Mass incarceration.
Mass destruction.
Let's
kill everybody to solve the violence problem. That's
so
my solution.
So you
want to
solve violence with violence?
Absolutely. By any means necessary. That's what Malcolm said.
That could work because if you go back and listen to that episode, what I said was I used the Snickers bar as an example. If you get caught stealing a Snickers bar right now today, I asked Becky, I said, what do you think happens? She says, a day in jail. I said, no, nothing happens. You might get banned from the store. You might have the cops called. If you're a minor, you might be taken home to your parents. Now, if you attach a 10-year jail sentence to that Snickers bar, people will be less inclined to try to steal Snickers bars.
Got it.
Okay. Expound.
Because you have life or death attached to killing people, and people are less inclined to kill someone. If you are inclined to commit a crime, you are going to commit it whether there's a stiff penalty attached to it or not. People sell drugs where the sentence attached to that could get you 25 years, but they still do it.
Now,
people steal cars.
The difference here is in New Orleans specifically. Now, I've lived in multiple cities my life, my 35 plus years on this earth. People aren't afraid of whatever these stiff laws are. It's
exactly.
Because they're not being enforced.
Not that they're not being enforced. If you're a criminal,
you're letting people out on bond.
You don't care about the law.
You're letting people out. New Orleans is letting people out on bond.
You know what?
Violent criminals.
So is California.
Show me.
So is Ohio.
Show me.
I mean,
I'm from Missouri.
I believe what governor was it? I think it was it Ohio? The governor just commuted the sentence of 200 plus criminals, including violent criminals. The thing is,
I'm from Missouri.
If you are a criminal, sentences don't scare you. If you are inclined to commit a crime, the punishment for that crime does not scare you.
Well, this is where I'll have to debate you again, because I told a story. And again, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for rehashing a lot of what I said, but there was a big brawl back home. It was a massive, massive neighborhood brawl, right? Two neighborhoods against each other, because we didn't do gangs and stuff like that. It's where you from. So one dude in the middle of this brawl pulls out a gun, fires a gun into the air. Nobody flinches. Nobody stops. And one of my partners looks at him and says, nigga, put your gun away. You ain't trying to do that time. He put his gun away and took off running. He did not want to do that time.
Okay, but he was probably not a hardened criminal. And
he was a criminal.
So were you.
Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't pulling out no guns.
But you had one, did you not?
No.
How about...
Not then.
How about your boys had some, and how about any one of them could have pulled it out?
They didn't have any either. Because
the thing is this.
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you, because the laws were so strict in the D.C. area when it comes to guns. If you get found with a gun on you, automatic 5 years, no questions. And then for each bullet,
y'all are real criminals.
Then each bullet in that gun is an additional year. So the average gun holds 8 to 10 rounds. So you're looking at 13 years.
Y'all weren't real criminals.
call it what you want. Niggas were smart.
I'm saying.
That's why we were stabbing people.
Petty criminals. Y'all weren't real criminals.
Because if you say so.
This is what I'm saying. You're talking about gun violence.
That's not something to be proud about either, being real criminals.
No, it's not. But this is the point that I'm making.
Okay.
What you are talking about are hardened criminals. Mm-hmm. You are talking about people who have no respect for their lives, let alone anybody else's life.
So these 13 and 14 year old boys, they're hardened criminals.
I'm not talking about your story.
No, I'm talking about here in the city of New Orleans.
I'm not talking about your story.
I'm talking about in the city of New Orleans.
It's not just 13. The environment that they're in,
mm-hmm.
they are being taught not to fear anything or anyone. Absolutely.
Okay.
They have no respect for life in general.
And you don't find a problem with
that. They are being taught that. I have a very big problem with that. But that is not a problem that is just a New Orleans problem.
It's a problem that affects us because we're here in New Orleans.
That is a problem that is systemic in our society.
Right. But we are here. We are here. So this
I'm not
affects
just here
us.
Because guess what? I travel.
That's good. Good for you.
I travel.
But
so you know what?
We are here.
It's in California. It's in New York. It's in.
We don't know
Illinois.
Enough about these places. What we know about
is the city that we live in. Though
we
know enough. If you research enough,
what
you do know.
I'm talking
you
about experience. Experience.
And I'm talking about experience as well because you would make it seem like New Orleans is hyper violent.
It is.
So is a lot of other cities in the United
Absolutely.
States.
You're
so,
right.
So
You're
is
right.
a good majority of the major cities in the United States. But that is because violence is systemic in our society.
Okay.
Violence is not, it is, like I said, it's not in a box. That box is not labeled New Orleans. It is systemic in our society, period.
Okay, so what you're trying to do is you're trying to deflect.
I'm not deflecting.
From offering solutions to help the people that you live around, that you interact with every day. That is deflecting.
That's not a deflection.
Because I'm asking for solutions.
I'm asking for solutions.
New Orleans.
In general, because if we do this systemically, New Orleans takes care of itself. If we,
New Orleans has never taken care
New
of itself.
New Orleans can take care of itself if we take care of violence as a whole. It's not because it's not New Orleans is not in a vacuum. New Orleans is a product of society.
New Orleans is a product, that's for sure.
It's a product of society. It is not in a vacuum. So what I'm saying is you're talking about what's the solution for New Orleans.
Right.
It is what is the solution overall. How do we stop violence on a national level? We do that, trickle down effect.
They introduced this thing, ladies and gentlemen, a few years ago at a federal level. And it was called the Real ID, right? You know what Louisiana said? Louisiana said, fuck you and your real ID.
You know what Louisiana has right now?
They have it now,
real
but at
ID.
the time. So
it's because
so if you want to address it at a national level.
Because federally, the federal government gave states time to get things in order to begin the real ID.
And our good governor, Bobby Jindal, sir, good governor, sir. He said, fuck you. I'm not doing it.
States time.
Yeah, but we said fuck you, I'm not doing it.
And guess what? We have real ID now.
Yeah, we have a new governor as well too.
Exactly.
So anyway.
So it's not we don't live in a vacuum.
Okay,
things
so
things don't stop.
This is what I'm asking you. So you see no direct solutions that would affect the city that we live in and around that we travel through daily. You're more concerned with
you
what's
travel
beyond.
Through New Orleans daily?
Yes, as a matter of fact, as a part of my job, I do.
Wait, you travel through New Orleans daily?
As part of my job, I do, yes.
Right.
Not by choice.
So on a daily basis, every day, 365.
Yes.
You go through New Orleans.
Every working day. Every working day, yes.
So 5 days a week, or sometimes six,
sometimes
you go through
six,
New Orleans.
Sometimes seven. Sometimes
you go through
yes,
New Orleans.
I do.
Lie.
Yes, see, I do. See, yes, I do.
This is called Black Law and Legal Lie.
Anyway.
And you definitely lie a lot. But
anyway,
okay.
I'm talking about the people that we're close to, the people that we live around, the people. So you want to wait for shit to trickle down.
No,
I'm
I don't
want to
wait for anything to trickle
I'm talking
down.
About
what I am talking about is
now.
Exactly. Let's do that on a large scale.
Okay.
Because New Orleans does not live in a vacuum.
Okay.
So let's do that on a large scale. Let's find solutions on a large scale of how to stop this systemic violence. Let's do that.
See, the problem with that is, one, that's still with so many different states, so many different laws, that would have to be a federal situation.
Surprisingly, most laws are pretty similar. Even though there are quirks,
I mean,
and bumps, most laws, believe it or not.
Tell that to the people of Philadelphia who can't own firearms. Tell that to the people in New York City who cannot own firearms.
Most laws are pretty similar.
Tell that to those people. So, again, you have no solutions for the area that you live in.
I have plenty of solutions for violence overall.
Okay, what I'm asking.
I have loads of solutions
That's
for that.
That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is locally, right here
What's
in your
hometown.
What's
your solution?
I told you my solutions.
Which is?
I told you, if you go back and listen to episode 119.
What's your solutions?
I just told you like fucking 3 minutes ago.
What's your solutions?
The police here are lazy. They are reactive. They are not proactive. They do not patrol neighborhoods because you see them sitting in these fucking parking lots watching YouTube videos on their phones. Their response times are unacceptable. We know a person whose house was broken into. He called 911. Fucking police showed up 3 days later. And that is not an exaggeration. 3 days
later.
Actually,
it was two, but okay.
3 days later.
Okay.
So the New Orleans Police Department, their culture is reactive, not proactive. It's do the bare minimum. And then what I was also saying is I can also see why, because when they do lock up a lot of these violent criminals, they get bonded out. They're back out on the streets. The police are looking at it like, why bother? Because they keep getting back out. There was a situation where someone had got arrested for attempted murder. They got out. They were placed on an ankle bracelet, home detention, basically, into their trial. They killed some tourists in the French quarters while they were on home arrest, and their ankle bracelets were tracked to the scene of the crime. So it's kind of like, I'm gonna let you out because, you know, I think there's a real good person inside there somewhere, but you got to come back to court and face these trials. And then you're like, shh, motherfucker, I didn't try to kill someone. You let me back out in these streets. I'm about to go finish the job. So the justice system needs to be overhauled. We need to stop letting violent people accused of violent criminals bond out. So I'm going to throw this in here too. If I beat on Becky, right? And it is a regular thing. Becky, you're awfully quiet over there. You all right?
I'm good.
You enjoying the show? Because you sure ain't part of it.
Well, I'm waiting to hear the scenario about you beating me.
Okay. Yeah. So I beat Becky's ass, right? And I do this on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
Cops are called to my house on a regular. I am removed from my house on a regular. And I keep getting out. Becky's life is in danger. So she gets to the point where one of two things is going to happen. Either she's going to have to vanish in the middle of the night, or she is going to have to cover and say, officer, I fell. I fell into two doorknobs. That's why I have two black eyes and missing teeth, because I keep getting back out.
But Becky keeps letting you back in.
In that scenario.
Be quiet before I beat you again.
Because number one, if you get in jail for beating me, I ain't bailing you out.
I don't need you to. A lot of the times, family members will bail out the abusers.
And then the abusers come back home and Becky lets you back in. But as I said,
it's my home too.
Everything that you've said is not just a New Orleans thing. That is something that is happening around the country.
I can't speak to that.
I can speak to that. We speak about things that happen in other states and in other cities all the time.
Not isolated incidents. Yes.
It's things that we see happening every day.
I don't see happening.
I do. We see it on the news.
Okay, share. Come on, tell us about it.
We see it on the news. We speak
Who
on
is
this
we?
Show.
The royal we, because we, I don't
exactly,
watch the news.
Exactly, it is the royal we.
Okay.
We speak, and that's not the royal we. That is a Dan, Becky, Ann situation. We speak about things that happen nationwide. Hell, sometimes we speak about things that happen internationally because we see it or we get alerts about it on our nifty little phones or on our nifty little watches.
Not me.
Once again, we don't live in a vacuum. So what you just described are things that happen in most major cities.
I can't speak to that. Because
we talk about, just like we talk about the opiate situation. That's not happening in New Orleans.
Man, I know plenty of opiates in New Orleans.
Anyway, we talk about this. That's not happening in New Orleans. That's happening in BFE, Ohio, or
wait, why is there bumfuck Egypt in Ohio?
In small little hamlets of Ohio and Wisconsin in the Northwest.
Y'all Egyptian Ohio niggas need to get it together.
In the Midwest. We talk about things like that. So what I'm saying, which is what I said from the very beginning, is systemic. It's society as a whole. And what happens in New Orleans is not just a New Orleans thing.
I don't believe that to be true.
It is true.
In my experience, in my personal experience, it is not true.
In my personal experience, it is true.
Thank you so much for responding to the prior episode and giving your feedback on your experiences.
Okay, Becky, in your experience, is it true? All the other places you've lived have mirrored New Orleans in violence and violent crime.
In my personal experience, no.
Because Becky hadn't lived in a lot of major cities.
She's been in D.C.
Becky, you've lived in D.C.?
For 3 months.
For 3 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's enough time to say you've lived in D.C.
Yeah, you've lived in D.C. for 3 months. And then you moved to...
Don't give away too much info. She's lived in multiple areas.
Major cities.
Close enough.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, see,
regardless, her experience is her experience,
right?
Though.
But listen, because what you said was in my experience,
right?
I have not experienced a lot of violence. You live in Virginia. You lived in Virginia and D.C. At the height of crime and violence.
I did, and as I said, I got off lucky because all I saw was a couple people get stabbed and a couple people get shot. Right, at.
But listen, so that just proves my point.
I've never seen the number of people that get shot.
But
ever.
You lived in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
at the height of when D.C. was the murder capital of the nation.
Crack epidemic, yeah.
So, but then you say to us, but I've never heard about people getting shot like I've heard about it in New Orleans.
Exactly.
People were getting shot on an hourly basis in D.C.
Okay. Your point?
My point is, you are specifically trying to say that New Orleans is extra violent when you lived in one of the most violent cities in the freaking nation.
That is why it was so startling when I came down here.
But it was not. It's New Orleans right now is not as violent as D.C. was then.
I beg to differ.
Look it up.
You look it up.
Like you always telling me, look it up.
I don't need to. I've lived in both places.
Right, but according to you,
I only saw a couple of people get stabbed. And then I heard some people get shot. But in New Orleans, it's like people running around with machine guns.
Listen,
that's what you say.
I understand that you feel the need to stick up for your city.
I'm not sticking up for New Orleans.
I completely get
Orleans.
It because when people talk
not,
bad about D.C.,
I'm not sticking
I
up
feel
for
as
New,
if
for New
I
Orleans.
Need to defend what, where I'm from.
What,
I get it.
What
I get it.
I'm not defending New Orleans.
You are.
I'm not. It's not because for me, it's not about New Orleans.
This whole shit is about
It's not
New
about
Orleans.
New Orleans. Not for me. For you.
Because
I tend to take a global approach. And when you take a global approach, as I said, New Orleans is not in a vacuum. And though you try to pigeonhole it as an extremely violent city.
It is.
So is Chicago. So is Detroit.
Let me tell you.
I've
been to those cities. So,
so have I.
I, in Detroit. I have never been afraid and I don't even want to say, I don't want to use the word afraid, but apprehensive.
Okay, so you're going through New Orleans on your daily basis.
Let me finish. So, okay, I'm easily thrown off track when I'm interrupted and you're trying to take advantage of that.
I am not.
So, no, in these cities, I was not apprehensive.
How long were you in Detroit?
Like 4 days.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was not. I was not apprehensive.
Okay. 4 days. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was. See, you're trying to take advantage of it.
I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not taking advantage.
See, you know, I took my meds, and you know, I can't keep. In all seriousness, there's places in New Orleans that I am apprehensive, and I'll tell you where they are. One. The East.
You have a skewed perspective, though.
Wait, let me finish. Let me finish.
Your perspective is hella skewed. That's what I'm trying to get you to see.
Yeah, you're not going to.
I know, because you are insane, but it's okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen who are listening and who know the city. I am apprehensive about going anywhere in the East, and I often joke about it all the time. I am apprehensive about going to the pre-tore down and rebuilt Calio. I am apprehensive about going in a lot of places uptown, the pre-gentrified uptown. I'm apprehensive about going Claiborne, down on South Claiborne, down on fucking MLK, down on Washington Street, down on LaSalle.
Why though?
Because.
Do you know a woman was walking in New York?
Yes, women walk in New York. Yeah, that's what they do.
Guess what? Walking through somewhere in Times Square, got hit in the head and died. Let me tell you, your apprehension is about, oh, I might die. You can walk out your door right now and die.
That's not what my apprehension is about.
What's about?
My apprehension is about, these are the areas in the city where most of the violent crime takes place. Now, you can bring shit. That's not false, because I actually did the research on that. Prior to New Orleans has a crime map, pull that shit up.
I know it
and
does.
Look at the zip code.
I know
and
it does.
You punch in your zip codes and shit,
I know it does.
Out by you.
I know it does. But
in
guess
Gentilly,
what?
where the rich Negroes
just
live.
Just to let you know, Gentilly, people say Gentilly, but St. Bernard is considered Gentilly. So
where the rich Negroes live.
FYI, St. Bernard is considered Gentilly. But just to let you know, once again,
Tell me, sis.
You have a very skewed view of the city. You always have.
Coming from a violent city to a more violent city, what
do
you expect?
This city is not more violent.
It's more violent than the city that I came from. That's not an impression.
That is your impression.
That's not an impression.
That is your skewed version. Unequivocally. It is not unequivocal.
Look, Max, unequivocally.
That is your skewed vision.
This is my personal skewed vision. Personal experience.
Not based in fact.
This is 100% based in fact.
How many people have you seen shot in New Orleans?
How many people have you seen shot in New Orleans since this is your personal?
How many people have you, this is your personal experience.
Okay.
How many people have you personally seen shot in New Orleans?
I've seen zero people shot anywhere.
So
what?
Your version and your vision of the city is skewed. You have not seen. All you've done is heard. And what the news not that it lies. The news sensationalizes everything. And so what you get, which let me tell you something. When I was in, because as I said, I travel. I was in San Francisco. You know, I'm watching the news. You know how many times I heard about people being shot in San Francisco, somebody being stabbed.
That's the Bay Area. The Bay Area fucked up.
Like I said, so I'm in Chicago. I hear the same thing on TV in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm in Detroit. I hear the same thing on TV in Detroit. I'm in New York. I hear the same thing on TV in New York. Hell, I'm in Vashri. I hear shit about that in Vashri. This is what I'm saying. The news is sensationalized. It wants people to watch. What is more sensational
clips that I played in last week's episode, you sat there, you watched a few of them. Those were sensationalized.
Anything that will sell.
It's a simple yes or
anything
no.
Anything that will sell is sensationalized.
It's a simple yes, yes
and
or
they
no.
play it over and they play it over. They play it at 6, 8 mm-hmm. and 10. And they will play it over and over and over and over. So once again, the view that you have, your personal view.
My personal experience.
No, it's not experience because according to you, you've not seen anybody shot personally.
But my experience is having shit reported to me in the places you that have, I'm at. So you're saying the news is lying.
You have things reported to you.
The news
and
is
what,
lying.
And what you don't see is you rarely see the good that's out there.
You damn right I rarely see the good. Where's the good in New Orleans? Where's the good in New Orleans? There's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it.
Let's go. We're going overtime on this episode.
There's a lot of it.
I need you to tell me where the good is at.
We're not going overtime. All I'm trying to get you to see is that you have a very messed up conception of the city.
Okay, so you're in a vacuum then.
No, I'm not.
You're in a vacuum.
No, you live in a vacuum.
Do you hear and read what the residents of New Orleans are saying?
I hear and read lots of things because you know what? Unlike you, I go out into the city of New Orleans.
As do I.
When?
Actually, I go through every single part of the city at some point during the week.
Awesome that you go through every single part of the city. And you take the time to actually mingle with people.
Fuck them. That's great.
But you don't. See, that's the thing.
They're going to kill me.
Once again, live in a vacuum. You go to a specific spot. You get out. You go into a location. And then you come back out and you go about your business.
That's exactly what I do.
You do not go into the city. You don't have dinner in the city. You don't go to shows in the city. You don't talk to people in the city.
I've been to all of those.
You don't do once or twice.
Ain't no once or twice.
Once or twice.
Ain't no once or
How
twice.
How often do you go out into the city and go to the theater?
Fuck the theater. We went to see one of my homeboys. He trains these little kids how to dance. I've been to the Mahalia Jackson. I've been to the Sanger.
Yep.
I've been all up and down St. Charles to every restaurant you could possibly name in that area. So what? What else you
As
need?
As I'm saying, how often do you do that?
When the time arrives. I don't count.
Right. Because you don't do it often at all.
So at the end of the day.
You live in a vacuum. But what
I live in a vacuum, but I'm the one that felt that I lived in Virginia. I lived in D.C. I've stayed in Maryland. I've never once felt the need to own a firearm. I moved down here. I have an arsenal.
You know what?
Why is that?
And you're also paranoid. And you're also
I'm not paranoid.
And you also have anxiety disorders.
That I do. Okay, yes. But that doesn't affect my judgment.
That does affect your perception.
Yeah, it does. Not at all times.
Yes, no, it does only, affect. It does affect your
anxious.
Perception.
Only when I'm anxious.
And you're anxious all the time.
No.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely. You live with that.
We're all anxious. We're all anxious 100% of the time. It's just to varying degrees.
And as I said, that affects your perception.
Yo, Ann, I got a question for you.
Thank you, Becky, for joining the show.
You're welcome.
Sure.
So, Dan and I talked in the absentee episode. About why, or we theorized why people after Katrina, they had been displaced. They started a new life in a new city and got a job, established themselves elsewhere. Then New Orleans says, hey, we're back open for business. Come on back, y'all. And of course, that's exactly what they did. So what do you believe?
May I add to that real quick too?
Mm-hmm.
School too. A lot of people leave the area for school, and the job market, the economies, so they leave the area. They go to school in other cities, and the same thing Becky's saying is they get set up in those cities. Don't do that movement. It makes me uncomfortable. So they get set up in these other cities. They get apartments. They get jobs, and go ahead, take it back away, Becky.
So what is the draw? What is the reason that people come back here? Their whole family may have been displaced with them.
Mm-hmm.
But why would they? What's the enticement about the this city?
The love of this. It's the culture of the city. It is the heart of the city. New Orleans is honestly a city like no other. It really is. And
wait, you just said it's like every other major city.
I'm talking not when I said that. I'm talking about the issues that it has with violence.
Houston has a Super Sunday.
Anyway, so
Mobile, Alabama has Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and it's not real.
Have you been?
Yes.
You lying.
I am not lying. Promise you.
You lie.
I promise you. I have been to Mardi Gras in Mobile. I've been to that weak ass Mardi Gras that where someplace in Gulfport in Mississippi. They swear they have a Mardi Gras. Not. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Why do they keep coming back? The question was posed is why do the residents
why do we come back?
Have Stockholm syndrome.
We don't have Stockholm syndrome. We are not held hostage by our city. We love our city. Our city is our city. You yourself have talked about going back to Virginia often.
I can't afford that.
That's the only reason why you're staying.
We got a couple other reasons.
But anyway. A
couple little side pieces on the side. Whatever. That I can't be
anyway,
leaving
behind. New Orleans really is unique in just. Dan doesn't believe it, but New Orleanians are a family. They really are. We are a crazy family, a bit dysfunctional.
And y'all fucking each other too, so that's incest.
But we are a family nonetheless, and that's what you feel, and that's what draws you back, because you never run away from family.
Becky, is that what you feel?
You're not from New Orleans. Y'all don't live in New Orleans.
It doesn't matter. I'm asking.
It does matter.
Let me ask the woman a question. Is that what you feel?
No.
No. Okay.
Because y'all don't live in New Orleans.
I have lived in New Orleans.
You don't live there now? And how long did you live in New Orleans when you lived in New Orleans?
7 years.
And
apartment number 423.
Like
70130.
7 years. Wait, watch this. 7 years. In the city, and
wait, should I take that out? Give them my old address out?
What they gonna do? Look, y'all, yeah. They can do that now. What they gonna do?
Can't they find
what they gonna do? All I know is this. Well, you might want to take it out for Equifax purposes, but anyway, that is if they can get a hold of your social security number. But still,
mm-hmm.
7 years in the city. Did you actually have a life in the city other than go to work, come home?
At the time, yes.
Okay, what was your life like?
Basketball. I told stories about how, see, again, this is what happens when you almost die. You actually miss the good shit, and I have to repeat it. And so my life was sports, basketball, football, boxing. I could not find a basketball court in New Orleans to save my life. I told again, I hate
to went to the hood.
That's where I ended up. But I hate to repeat myself. Back home, we were able to use our schools after school hours to use their basketball courts, their tracks, all of that shit. Down here, I went to the first school I could find. They got gates 30 feet high, locked. All the schools are locked up. So the trouble I had finding somewhere to go play something as simple as play basketball, I ended up on Annunciation and yeah, and what's that? I forget the cross street, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'm playing ball down there, not knowing that I'm in the motherfucking hood of the hood. And
but you had a good time, didn't you?
Yeah,
exactly. Because you die?
Almost.
Yeah,
almost died. Sure. But no, like that's one thing niggas can bond over is. Sports, as long as it don't get too.
Wait,
as long
niggas?
As it doesn't get niggas, because I was out there with niggas.
Niggas.
We can all bond over sports as long as it doesn't get too serious or too involved. So my life consisted of every day going to play basketball, going boxing, going.
All right, but wait. But when you were doing all that, were you anxious that you thought you were gonna die?
Yes.
Every day?
Not every day.
But yet you went out there for 7 years and you did it.
Because I ain't no bitch.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
So, we're way over time. Let's just, I just want to simplify this.
Simply.
I'm talking specifically. You keep trying to take it elsewhere.
It's not just about New Orleans.
But I'm talking specifically New Orleans.
And I'm not, but.
Okay. So you have nothing that would help the city recover from, because it's been a violent city since before I got here, and I'm sure after I leave.
Guess what? And before I was born, mm-hmm. there was violence in the city.
Yeah.
When I die, there will be violence in the
city.
You
almost died.
When I die, there will be violence in the city. Guess what? There was violence before I was born in the United States. There will be violence in the United States when I die if we don't fix that. It's a cultural situation, systemic
mm-hmm.
in our national culture. We live in a culture and we are raised in a culture of violence. And it's not just gun violence. It's violence in every aspect against women, against children, against animals. Violence is bred in our society. So fix that and everything else fixes itself.
Did the 94 crime bill?
No.
That didn't work down here?
No.
Okay. So again, I want to clarify. You have no solutions specifically.
I have solutions specifically for New Orleans.
Okay. That's what
fix
I want to
hear.
Fix
the violence in our society.
And that's it.
Period.
That's it. Okay. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You have opposing opinions and views of the city and areas around the city because, of course, like I said, we get some of that spill over here, mm-hmm. that nonsense over sure. here into our parishes. And I can sure. tell you that.
You know what? White people are violent. Just to let you know.
Yeah, they actually
take out yeah. more than just one person. They take out 30 and 40 and 50 at a time. So just because you Thanks. Live out in the outskirts of New Orleans,
yeah,
you know what? The outskirts are pretty violent too, and it's not because
we talked about that.
It's not spillover though.
It is not spillover. Really, I do encourage you to go listen to episode 119.
Once again, it's not spillover, but okay.
I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard a native New Orleanian, even though she'll say she's not native. She's from some. Like one of those little small country towns. You've heard different opinions, different views on the city. I guess it's up to you to do a little more research. I mean, I've inserted numerous news clips in a
Let's find some news clips from Chicago. Let's find some news clips from Detroit. Let's find some from New York. Let's find some from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Let's find some.
New York is Brooklyn, but okay.
No, it's not. Anyway, that's why it's two different. New York City and Brooklyn are different areas, just like New Orleans and Metairie are different areas.
Brooklyn is in New York City.
Brooklyn and New York. It's a borough. There are five of them. Different areas.
But they're all
Manhattan,
in New York City.
Brooklyn.
Yo, I'm sorry. To all my people in NY, I'm sorry.
You ain't sorry.
She don't know no better.
I do know. I know a lot better.
Lord, anyway, forgive her for she not knows what she said.
Anyway.
So anyway, do your own research. The internet has bountiful information.
Yes, it does. And absolutely.
You can look it up yourself. So you either going to see things like, yeah, New Orleans is violent. Check that. The FBI stats too. That's a really good resource. Yes. Or you're gonna look at Ann's situation and say, I can deal with the violence unless something is done at a national or a global level. She feels safe here. I do not.
You don't feel safe anywhere.
I don't recommend people even come to visit the city.
You don't feel safe anywhere. If that's the case, as I said, don't go to New York. Don't go to San Francisco.
I love New York.
Don't go to San Francisco. Don't go.
I would never go to San Francisco.
Don't go to London. Don't go to Paris.
Fuck London.
Don't go to Amsterdam. Go nowhere because guess what? Violence is everywhere.
In my experience.
Yeah. Uh huh.
In my experience,
you don't go
been.
Nowhere. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my experience, it hasn't been. So yep. Anyway, mm-hmm. do your own research. She's a little upset because, you know, it's her city.
I'm not upset at all. She has a right to be in her feelings. I just hate when people have a skewed vision and then they try to force that on someone else.
I'm not forcing anything.
You're trying.
I'm not trying either.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. I'm
sharing my experience and my views. You're not sharing your experience because that's what this platform is here.
I believe in the show. I asked you how many people that you actually personally saw shot and you didn't see any.
But do you know how many people I personally know who have been shot?
Yeah, how many?
Too many to count.
How many?
Do you know?
Okay. Wait, how many people that you know? Wait,
too many.
How many people do you know that's been shot?
Too many to count.
Okay, where do they live?
They live all over.
Do they live in New Orleans?
A lot of them, yes.
Wait, how many in New Orleans that you know that have been shot?
Too many to count, if you'll let me finish.
No, you said people you know.
Okay, yeah, will you let me finish?
Sure.
Okay, so I work in a predominantly black company with predominantly black co-workers who happen to be women who have predominantly black sons, nephews, in these streets, and I can almost be certain that you getting too close. Back your ass up.
You personally know people that have been shot, and I said who, and you said too many to count.
Listen,
right.
So some of their sons have been shot. Some of their relatives have been shot.
The coworkers that we know.
Wait. Let's do this.
You're not letting me finish.
You're interrupting and you're interrupting my train of thought.
Keep going.
Like I said, there's 6 degrees of separation between you and somebody who has been murdered in the city of New Orleans.
Mm.
And I work with so many people. And then, like, actually, there's hundreds of people that I work with in total.
Most of them you don't even know.
It's still telling when they have to take off work because their family member has been shot.
When did that happen?
Funerals, numerous times.
Numerous times.
Numerous times.
I know one.
I can think of probably 4 or 5 off the top of my head.
That's a lot.
It is when it's such a small city and we're talking about one company.
That's a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, at one company, if you have 4 or 5 people having to take off work within the same year. Because someone in their family was murdered.
It's false, America. But okay, continue.
So, I'm not going to continue because we're way over time. So again, this is up to the people. I mean,
it is up to the people.
You know how I feel? And I backed my shit up with news reports and stats in episode 119.
Yeah, but I'm backing it up with her mouth. See, this is what you said. You said, go out and do the research.
Do the research, absolutely.
Guess what? I can roll right now news clips from the Detroit area that talks about people being shot.
I'm sure.
I can do that right now. I can do the same thing for other major cities as well.
The same could be said too for Miami as well. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there because it's how these cities are viewed
mm-hmm.
from outsiders. Mm-hmm. Outsiders view Miami as, again, like New Orleans, a party city. Miami's fucked up too.
But guess what? People are still going to Miami and partying.
A lot of them don't know any better. They don't know.
That's false.
Do you know how many people after that episode reached out to me and said I had no fucking clue that all these shootings were happening in New Orleans?
Because you know what? But you should have asked them how many shootings are happening where they are. Because once again, on the news in your area, you're going to see the news in your area.
If that shocks them and from whatever areas they're from, all I'm saying,
the news in your area.
All I'm saying is if they find that shocking, from wherever the fuck they're from, I'm sure they're used to hearing whatever the fuck they're used to hearing. But they find this shit shocking. That's telling.
Last that.
My name is Dan, ladies and gentlemen. You can keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast. Don't visit New Orleans, please.
Please do.
You will be shot and killed.
Never happen. Hi, I'm Just Dan, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies. Please do visit New Orleans. It's a great place to live and play.
And die.
And you don't die because he ain't dead yet. I wish he would be, though.
Coming from the person who I just brought back to life. See how appreciative these motherfuckers is down here? Well, we're a family. We're a family. I bought this motherfucker back from the dead, y'all.
Psych.
And this has been another long episode way of too Black long. Law and like, Legal Lives.
Entirely too long.
Thank you for continuing to listen.
Maybe a two-part show.
No, it's going to be entertaining. The back and forth are entertaining.
Thank you for sticking with us. And we appreciate you listening to the show.
They love
us. This is Afro Becky signing off.
High as shit.